This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
As-salamu alayka zaynal anbiya'i, as-salamu alayka.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammadan wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam ajma'in. Alhamdulillah, we're going to continue our study of this very beneficial book of the Ihya Ulumuddin, book 8 on the Kitab Tilawat al-Quran, and about the various proprieties of reciting the Quran. All of this to learn how it is that we can strengthen our relationship with the Quran. Alhamdulillah, on this blessed day, as you might see in my wet jacket that I'm wearing, alhamdulillah, mercy is descending. It's raining where we are in Makanji, Pennsylvania, and inshallah ta'ala, it's also raining spiritually in the unseen realm from the mercy that Allah Ta'ala gives to people during this special month of Ramadan. Every time that the fast is broken, there are 600,000, another narration, 1 million people that Allah Ta'ala releases from the fire. And there's many meanings of being released from the fire, and this is why we should be especially cautious to be present with Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala when we break our fasts. It's very easy to be in a state of heedlessness, to be cooking or to be making coffee or to be worrying about, well, maybe not in these days, getting to where you need to go. In other days when you're invited to iftar, you're racing last minute to get somewhere. But we should really try to do that to the extent possible ahead of time, so that those last 3 or 4 minutes that we are in a state of penitence and asking Allah Ta'ala to forgive us, and that being present with Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the beautiful things that we can do is to repeat these blessed words, and this was done where I studied in Tarim and Hadramaut, and they recite throughout the day, but especially just before iftar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, nastaghfirullah, nas'aluka al-jannata wa na'udhu bika min an-nar. They repeat that 3 times. And then they say, Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa fa'fu 'anna, 3 times. And so this is a very good practice to do with your children at home, with the group that you are breaking your fast with, so that we can be present with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in those last moments. May Allah ta'ala bless us, and may He strengthen our relationship with the Quran in this blessed month, Ya Arhamar Rahimin. So we are now on the Adab As-Sadis, the 6th etiquette that Hujjat al-Islam Imam al-Ghazali mentions. And this is an etiquette that is of the utmost importance, and it is one of the abandoned sunnas, the sunnah al-mahjura of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it is a sunnah that is so important. There is a direct relationship between the number of people in the ummah that are observing the sunnah and the good that comes to the ummah. And the more the people there are, the more good that's going to come to the ummah. The less there are, is that the less good that's going to come to the ummah. And this is nothing other than the sunnah of buka, weeping for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. And so he mentions this is one of the outward etiquettes. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, وَإِذَا تُتْلَى عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُ الرَّحْمَنِ خَرُّوا سُجَّدًا وَبُكِيًّا. When the signs, or the verses of the All-Merciful are recited to them, they fall down prostrate and weep. And as one of the Sadaf used to say, هَذِهِ السَّجْدَ فَأَيْنِ الْبُكَى. This is the prostration, so where is the weeping? In this verse, خَرُّ سُجَّدًا, they fall down prostrate. وَبُكِيَّ, and they're in the state of weeping. And this is something that you and I need to bring into our religious life, and to realize that a sign of a hard heart is the fact that we don't shed tears. This is a very healthy thing to do. One of the healthiest things of all to do spiritually is to weep for the sake of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And so Imam Ghazali says, Al-buka'u mustahabbun ma'al qira'ah. It is recommended that we weep while we are reciting the Quran. And there is a hadith, and he mentions the hadith in different parts, but the hadith is in Ibn Majah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Inna hadha al-Qur'an nazala bi-huzn." This Qur'an was sent down with huzn, sadness, grief. And what is meant by that is, the one who reflects deeply on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book will realize this affair is serious. This is not a joke. We weren't created in vain. And there are repercussions for what it is that we do. And the unknown of the future is sufficient for us to be in a state of trepidation, a state of worry, and to be sad internally because we realize the very little that our Lord has commanded of us, we have fallen so short in. So, إِنَّ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ نَزَلَ بِحُزْنٍ. It has been revealed with huzn, with sadness. فَإِذَا قَرَأْتُمُهُ فَبْكُوا. So if you recite Allah's book, then weep. فَإِنْ لَمْ تَبْكُوا فَتَبَاكَوْا. If you do not weep, then force yourself to do so. Force yourself to weep. And so what is our Prophet ﷺ teaching us here? That we can sometimes feign something until it becomes a part of your reality. And he's going to give us details here about how to actually do that, how to actually force ourselves to cry and how to force ourselves to have grief in our hearts. But just the proposition of doing something that you is not, because you cry because you're affected by something and then you cry. But the fact that we can force ourselves to cry, and there is a truth in this sense, fake it till you make it. And even though that's sometimes used in a worldly sense, the religious dimension of that here is true. You force yourself to be the way that you know you need to be. And then it will start to naturally come from you. And this is actually the case with many traits of character. You have to force yourself to be like that. You have to struggle with yourself. You know you should be like that. You try to make yourself like that until it flows naturally from you. And so, in this case, that the Prophet ﷺ is referring to weeping. If you do not weep, then force yourself to weep. And then the hadith ends, وَتَغَنَّوْ بِهِ. Recite the Quran beautifully. فَمَنْ لَمْ يَتَغَنَّ بِهِ فَلَيْسَ مِنَّا. Whoever doesn't recite the Quran and adorn the recitation is not from us. So, one of the righteous is that he said that I had a dream where in the dream I was reciting the Quran to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So imagine that this righteous man has seen the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a dream, and he's reciting the Quran to him. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, "This is a dream, of course." Ya Salih, that was his name, Salih. هذه القراءة فأين البكاء. This is your recitation. So where is the weeping? Indicating that this is something that should be a part of our recitation. And he mentions the narration of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, where he said, إِذَا قَرَأْتُمْ سَجْدَةَ سُبْحَانَ فَلَا تَعْجَلُوا بِالسُّجُودِ حَتَّى تَبْكُوا. And so if you recite this particular sajda of Subhan, he says, don't hasten to prostrate until you have wept. فَإِنْ لَمْ تَبْكِي عَيْنُ أَحَدِكُمْ فَلْيَبْكِي قَلْبُهُ. And that if your eye does not weep, i.e. you don't have a tear shed with your physical eye, he said, then let your heart weep. And so open up the door for us to understand another dimension of weeping. You can weep in your heart. And sometimes even if we're not weeping outwardly, we could weep in our heart. And the ideal is to join between the two. So then Imam Ghazali, what does he do? He says, the way to force yourself to cry is the following. In يُحْرِرَ قَلْبَهُ الْحُزْنِ. You bring to heart sadness, grief. Because when there's huzn, when there's sadness in the heart, naturally someone's going to tear up. And then the key then is, how do you bring huzn to the heart then? And he tells us how to do that as well. And so, if we have grief or sadness in the heart, we'll naturally weep. So then the key is to bring this huzn to the heart. And we can do that in the following way. He says, إِنْ يَتَأَمَّلْ مَا فِيهِ مِنَ التَّهْدِيدِ وَالْوَعِيدِ, is that one reflects deeply upon the various warnings or threats in Allah Ta'ala's book, as well as His promises. Reflect deeply upon them. Allah says, this is what's going to happen if you do this. And this should cause us to really change internally. And He says, think upon the mawathiq and the uhud. Think about all of the covenants that have been taken with us, all of the trusts, and what it is that has been placed upon our shoulders and what it is that we have to do. So when we think about this and we think about these various verses and the verses of threats, the verses that have promises in them, we think about the various covenants that we have to fulfill. We think about the various all of the different things that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has made binding upon us. And then we think about our own taqsir. We think about our own shortcomings in relation to fulfilling His commands, in relation to fulfilling His prohibition, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Naturally, the heart will then be in a state of grief and sadness. If we're people of iman, that's going to have to be the state. And don't get disillusioned if you try to do this one time and it doesn't work. Do it a second time, and a third time, and a fourth time, and a fifth time, and rely upon Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and you will see it will have an impact upon your heart eventually. And how this is incredibly practical advice that is radiant and beneficial for us, and those moments that we spend implementing this will be some of our best moments of life. And keep in mind, one of the seven people who will be under the shade of the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is someone who sheds a tear when they are alone in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and out of fear of Him, Jalla Jalalu. So these tears are weighty in the scales, and these tears will be a means of great good for us in this world and the next. So he says, فَيَحْزَنِ لَذِكَ لَا مَحَالَ وَيَبْكِي, then naturally we will come and we will start to cry. So then he says, فَإِنْ لَمْ يَحْضُرُ حُزْن وَبُكَى كَمَا يَحْضُرُ أَرْبَابَ الْقُلُوبِ الصَّافِيَةِ. He said, but then if we still find that when we do this, we're not in a state of grief, and we don't start weeping as the way that the pure-hearted do, in the way that they have these traits in their hearts. He says, فَلْيَبْكِ عَلَى فَقْدِ الْحُزْنِ وَالْبُكَاءِ, then we should weep for the fact that we're not weeping, or for the fact that we don't have this spiritual grief in our hearts. فَإِنَّ ذَلِكَ أَعْظَمُ الْمَصَائِبِ, because that's one of the greatest calamities of all, is that we are bereft of this. So this is what he says, and this is in accordance with the Quranic guidance. We quoted the first verse that came before in Surah Maryam, and Allah Ta'ala also says, وَيَخِرُّونَ لِلْأَذْقَانِ يَبْكُونَ وَيَزِيدُهُمْ خُشُوعًا, and they fall down on their faces weeping, and it increases them in humility. And so this is part of our recitation. And one of the things that I will say there, generally speaking, this should be done privately. And if it overwhelms someone while they're with other people, then that is fine. But when we're with other people, we should try to weep in our hearts. And we're alone, we should weep openly. And especially when we're trying to force ourselves to weep, we should do this privately and between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So then the next etiquette, this is the seventh etiquette. Imam Ghazali says, "In yura'iya haqq al-ayat," is that we should make sure that we take great care to observe the right of the various verses. And he means specifically here, the verses that when you recite them, that then you prostrate. So you recite the verse and then you prostrate. And this is what is called an ayah of sajda. And the sajda, the prostrate itself, is called the sujood tilawa, the prostration of recitation. And whether we are the ones reciting or whether we are hearing someone else recite, and of course Imam al-Ghazali is a Shafi'i, so he's going to be presenting the Shafi'i opinion and all throughout this discussion, is that we recite when we prostrate when we are the ones reciting, just as if we hear someone else reciting, we prostrate as well. And he said that you don't prostrate unless that you're in a state of tahara, according to the Shafi school. And you have, it is a prerequisite to prostrate to be in a state of purification. And he says in the Quran there are 14 places where when we recite those verses that we then prostrate, and some ulama say 15, and some ulama say different numbers as well. And he says in Surah Al-Hajj there's two, and the sajda in Surah Al-Sad, according to the Shafi'iyah, is not a place where we prostrate, and there's ikhtilaf about that. Some of them include that in the verses where you would prostrate. And then he starts to talk about how it is that we prostrate to benefit from the fiqh that we need to know about it, the legal rulings. He says, and yasjudu wad ijabati al-ard, is that the minimum that you do when you hear that verse is that you just put your forehead on the ground, i.e. you prostrate. And he said, an even better way of doing that is to say Allahu Akbar. So you say Allahu Akbar, and you don't have to be standing. You could be sitting. You say Allahu Akbar, and then after that you prostrate. And once you prostrate, you make dua in sujood with what is appropriate for the verse that it is that you recited. And so he gives us a couple examples here. So, for instance, if you recite the verse خَرُّ سُجَّدًا وَسَبَّهُ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّهِمْ وَهُمْ لَا يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ, they fall down in prostrate and glorify the praises of their Lord, and they are not haughty. They do not show haughtiness. فَيَقُولُ, so an example of a dua that we would say, there's اللَّهُمَّ اجْعَلْنِي مِنَ السَّاجِدِينَ لِوَجْهِكَ, O Allah, bless us to be from those who prostrate for your noble countenance. أَلْمُسَبِّحِينِ بِحَمْدَكَ, who glorify your praises. وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ أَنْ أَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُسْتَكْبِرِينَ, I seek refuge in you from being from the arrogant. And أَمْرَكْ, and to arrogantly ignore your command. O عَلَى أَوْلِيَائِكَ, or to be arrogant towards those that you love, your pious folk. So that verse, you then make dua in sujood based upon the verse that it is that you recite. And this is a great benefit. And this will bring our prostrations to life, so that we just don't prostrate quickly and that's it. Whatever it is that we recited, we make a dua, a supplication in prostration according to what it is that we recited. He said, for instance, if you recite the verse وَيَخِرُّونَ لِلْأَذْقَانِ يَبْكُونَ وَيَزِيدُهُمْ خُشُوعًا, the verse we previously translated, that you say, O Allah, اللهم اجعلني من الباكين, bless me to be from those who weep for your sake, الْخَاشِعِينَ لَكْ, who that have this state of reverential fear towards you. وَكَذَلِكَ فِي كُلِّ سَجْدًا, and this is what we do in every prostration that we prostrate. So then he says that the conditions in the Shafi school for this prostration are the same conditions for prayer. So you have to have covered your awrah, your legal nakedness. And for males, that is between the navel and the knees. And for females, that is everything except their face and their hands. And you have to have istiqbal al-qibla. So you can't just prostrate in any direction. You have to know where the qibla is and prostrate in the direction of the qibla. And there has to be tahara to thawb wal badan min al hadath wal khabath. And you have to be in a state of ritual purity. And i.e. that you are not in a state of greater or lesser ritual impurity. If you're in a state of greater ritual impurity, that you have to take a also purificatory bath. In a state of lesser ritual impurity, then you have to make wudu. And then you'll be in a state of purity, but also to be free of najasa, filth, legal filth, on your clothing, your body, in the place that is that you're prostrating. He says, وَمَنْ لَمْ يُكُنْ عَلَى طَهَارَ عَنْدَ السَّمَعِ لِسَجْدَ فَإِذَا تَطَهَّرَ سَجَدَ. And so if you're not in a state of wudu, you can then make wudu and perform the sujood after that. And alhamdulillah, prostration is something that should be very beloved to us. This is something that was beloved to our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we know that the closest that a servant is to his Lord is while he is prostrating. And in that moment when we prostrate, our heart is above our mind. The heart, the qalb, is above the aql, the intellect, meaning here that the reality of the intellect is in the heart, but the outward, lower degree of the intellect is in the mind. The heart is above the aql in this time, at this time, which indicates the ascendancy of the heart and the primacy of it. And one of the wisdoms of prostrating outwardly physically is to show our humility before Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, but it's also to affect the heart greatly so that eventually our heart prostrates. And this is what you and I want. We want our hearts to prostrate. And so that even when we lift up out of prostration in prayer, our heart is still prostrate. Meaning our heart is constantly in a state of submission to Allah, feeling an absolute need of Him, broken before Him, in a state of lowliness and humility and submissiveness. When the heart prostrates, la ilaha illallah, it never ever again lifts up. And this was the blessed question that the young man, the great Imam Sahl al-Tustari, left the city that he was from and traveled to another city to ask. But he was raised by his blessed uncle, who gave him that very special dhikr and way of remembering Allah tabarak wa ta'ala that he repeated regularly and then increased in it throughout the time, saying that Allah is near me, Allahu ma'i, Allah is with me, Allahu shahidi, Allah witnesses me, Allahu hadir, Allah is present with me, Allahu nadiri, Allah gazes upon me, Allahu qariba minni, Allah is near to me. Hatta wajadtu halawatah, as he said, until that I found its sweetness. And then he had this question that he asked the locals that they couldn't answer it. And then he traveled to another city and finally found a righteous man who answered his question for him. And what was his question? Can the heart prostrate? What an illuminated question. And when we make a lot of dhikr, and our fikr is a result of dhikr, our fikr is munawwar. And Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, إِنِّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَوَاتِ وَرَضِي وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَإِنِّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَوَاتِ وَرَضِي وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ. Is that Allah says that those who remember Allah standing, sitting, and on their sides, وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, and they reflect upon the creation of the heavens and the earth. There's first a mentioning of dhikr, remembrance, and then there is a mentioning of that fikr, reflection. And so that when our tafakkur is based upon dhikr, our tafakkur, our reflections, our thoughts will be munawwar, they'll be radiant. As we see in the case with this blessed young man who came out and turned out to be one of the great imams of this deen. Because of his remembrance of Allah, his questions were radiant. And when was the last time that one of our young men or women asked one of these radiant questions? What kind of questions are they really asking nowadays? How to get something new for their switch or whatever it is that they're playing on, or some new technique that they can implement in Fortnite, or that something that they, some way that they can watch off the grid YouTube videos or something. What kind of questions oftentimes are the youth of this generation asking? And what type of questions should we be asking? You'd be surprised at the potential of young people. Young people, if they attach themselves to these meanings, can ascend very quickly. And we shouldn't think that just because they're young that somehow they're distant from these meanings. No, they can attain these meanings very quickly because of the purity of their souls. And so the question when he asked this great sheikh, can the heart prostrate? And he said, yes, son of mine. And once the heart prostrates, it never comes up out of prostration. And so every time that we prostrate, that we want to do so in a way that we realize our absolute need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that we should especially prostrate for these 14 or 15 times in the Quran. When we're encouraged to prostrate, make the du'as, that make our du'as correspond with what it is that we recited, realize our absolute neediness before Allah Ta'ala, and ask Him to bless us with sujood of qalb, the prostration of the heart, so that we are constantly then receiving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy, just as the water reaches the lowest point always, and likewise the most humble of people are the ones who receive the most mercy that is like rain. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and bless us with all of these etiquettes. We will continue on insha'Allah ta'ala. Next session we will get into what it is that we say in the beginning of our recitation. We'll speak a little bit about reciting audibly and then move on to the tenth etiquette, inshallah ta'ala, of the outward etiquettes before we then transition into the inner etiquettes. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and bless us in all of our affairs. Ramadan Mubarak to all of you. And inshallah, this is a time of great benefit for all of us, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. And this is a time, inshallah ta'ala, that we will truly enjoy as believers and get beyond some of the outward difficulties of the fast, so we experience its sweetness. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. Barakallahu feekum. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.